Our Father, we thank you again for this day. Lord, we thank you for songs and music and words and tunes that have been put together for the purpose to first magnify and glorify you. And when that happens, the sweet Spirit of God will bless our soul and our hearts. And we thank you for that. Now bless tonight. Lord, we thank you for these who are going to be baptized, but there are so many who should have been and did not. We can't make this happen. We just keep occupying. We keep telling the gospel story. And dear Lord, those who make professions, try to encourage them to follow the Lord in baptism. And I pray tonight you'd honor yourself as we these take a step and we move further into doing the work of the Lord in the age of grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to do something tonight. I'm not going to try not to preach. I'm just going to teach a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about baptism. And you say, preacher, you said so many through the years, but listen, I want to approach it this way. Now, just about every time we have a baptism and people are connected with so many different people, there's some things that people say they believe about baptism. Of course, you know, there are those who don't believe you have to be immersed. There's those who believe you can be sprinkled. There's those who believe you can be dipped. There's those who believe you can be poured. We believe it's baptism by immersion, and we believe we are biblically correct, but they are the same. Now, we have a new thing coming in our particular day, certainly in the last number of years about baptism, in the name who we're supposed to baptize in. There's a big movement across this nation, and even in some places around the world, that you cannot find in the book of Acts and also in the New Testament in the sense after Acts and the epistles. You cannot find baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And they're saying that in the New Testament, because of Jesus Christ, that you're baptized in His name only. And I have been told recently, and I have also had a debate with some people on this thing, and I don't mind doing that because there's never anything I've, and I can say that honestly, there's never anything that I've ever tried to do do for the church-wise that I didn't study Scripture and was convinced on the method and the things that we did. See, before we ever do something, I've spent weeks and weeks looking at it myself. And so here's this thing that if you use the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you may have heard this too, that in the age of grace now, after the transition period, the book of Acts, and even in the book of Acts, you can't find that word you're baptized in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, that is true to a point, but if you use that as a standard for the method of baptism today or the operation, then you can also be confused. And I want to show you why. Now, I believe what I'm fixing to say to you, if you follow me, don't criticize me, until you finish and hear all I've got to say. If you look with me, first of all, in the book of Acts in chapter 2, verse 38, here Peter is preaching, and he says, here's the word of Nazareth, verse 22, and when you get down to verse 38, then he said, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remissions of sin. And he said, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, it is certainly true that at this time, he says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. If that's the method, then it cannot be no other phrase. It's got to be Jesus Christ. If that's the method of the New Testament, it can't be no other phrase, because at this time, he said, be baptized in the name, again, of Jesus Christ. Look with me, though, over in chapter 8, and we're moving right through the transition period in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8, look down about verse 12. Now, Philip is down in Samaria, and here we see in verse 12 it said, but when they believed Philip and his preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, watch. Now, Philip was preaching about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. That's setting forth that Jesus Christ is the way into the kingdom of God. He was preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. No doubt about that. And by the way, Philip was only a deacon at this particular time. Notice, and they were baptized, both men and women. In what name? There's no name mentioned. Now, does that mean that they were not baptized correctly because they didn't use the name of Jesus Christ? Are you logical thinking with me now? They did not use no name here. So that does that mean that this baptism had no meaning whatsoever because they didn't know the name of Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ? All right, look with me again. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 16, here we see again, he said in Simon himself, in verse 13 he said, believe, and also when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. And there again, he was baptized in what name? He doesn't tell us. 16 said, though, for as yet he was fallen on none of them. When, let's get the criteria here. He said, when the apostle in verse 14 were at Jerusalem and heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now here again, we have the Lord Jesus. He's talking about Christ. So in essence, you could say the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is this the correct way? Is it Jesus Christ? Or is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it one who's not baptized in the name, not baptized at all correctly biblically? Look in Acts chapter 8 and in verse 38. In verse 38, now we see the eunuch. Philip's been taken over to the Gaza Strip. And the eunuch now is reading a part of Isaiah, not understanding, going back home after the feast. And now he's reading, and Philip has explained to him from the scriptures, the Old Testament, about Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. Now he says in verse 36, and they went on their way, and they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest that with all thy heart thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. What name? What name? Does that mean the baptism has no effect because it didn't use the Lord Jesus Christ's name? All right, look with me further. Look in Acts chapter 9 and verse 18. In Acts 9 and verse 18, here is Paul. And he says immediately he went to Ananias' house. You know, he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. He's blinded. He goes to Ananias' house. And he said, Ananias prays for him. And immediately there fell from his eyes, in verse 18, as he had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. In what name? If it's that important, it's got to have a name, hasn't it? All right, look with me also in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, in verse 48, here now we go to Cornelius' house. And you know how God got Peter down there to preach. In verse 48, it said, again, look in verse 44 first of all, though. Now, we know that up to this particular time, when a person was baptized, they received the Holy Ghost. Seemed to be simultaneously. Repent, be baptized, and they received the Holy Ghost. We saw that in the verse I just read to you a few minutes ago. But notice now in verse 44 why Peter is preaching now to Cornelius' house, which is assigned to the Gentiles. While Peter is speaking, he said these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. There's no delay now. When the Holy Spirit, when they heard the word of God proclaimed and spoke, the hearts received and the Holy Ghost fell upon them at this particular time. And the circumcision didn't understand that, but watch verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. You said, but he's talking about the same person. Yes, maybe he is, but he's not using the same name. Baptized in Jesus Christ. Baptized in the Lord. Baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or no name given at all. All right, look with me again, if you will, in chapter 10, we look 10, verse 48. Look with me down in chapter 19, 18, and verse 8. Chapter 18 and verse 8. Here again, we see the Apostle Paul talking, and he's at Corinth, and he says, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians were believers. And we're baptized in what name? Where's the authority of the baptism? Now, I agree that if he said in the Lord's name, that's authority. If he said in the Lord Jesus Christ's name, that's authority to a degree. But if it is the Lord Christ, if it's important to say it at one place, it's got to be important to say something else. Why in the world didn't they use the same term? Either say Jesus Christ or Jesus or Christ or the Lord Jesus Christ, without mixing it up and using his name different ways. And you understand why, what I'm coming to get you thinking, like, logically about things, and then ask God to give us an understanding about what Jesus said in Matthew 28. If you look again, you'll find out in chapter 19 and down about verse 5, he talks again. Here is at Ephesus, and he said, Paul, having passed through, came to Ephesus, and the scenario here, and he said, have you seen the Holy Ghost yet? They said, we didn't know what the Holy Ghost is, and he said, what baptized you? He said, unto what baptism would you baptize? In verse 3, they said, John the Baptist baptism. Now, what did John baptize? Whose name? Jesus had not come yet. He certainly didn't baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ hadn't come yet. He just baptized them. But here, watch. Now, Paul said, John verily baptized in baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, they should come after him, that is on Christ. Watch verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, here again, we see the Lord Jesus. Interesting, isn't it? We saw that in Acts 8:16. So here, the Lord Jesus. Yet in Acts chapter 8, verse 16, he said the Lord Jesus Christ. Why didn't he go ahead and say the Lord Jesus? Every one of those has an important factor. Lord of one's life, Jesus, earthly name, Christ, the anointed one. If you look with me also, though, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, when we get to the church at Rome, it talks about this baptism, and he says in verse 3, you know ye not that so many as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Now, here's not talking about in the name of Christ, but baptized into Christ, been placed into the body of Christ, literally merged spiritually into the body of Christ. If you look also with me in John chapter 1 and verse 28, you'll find this scriptures in John chapter 1 and verse 28. It says, these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now, my question to you is this, before we approach what we're doing tonight and why we're doing it a certain way. Here, one time, he says, in Jesus Christ. Another time, he said, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another time, he said, in the name of the Lord. Another time, he said, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another time, he said, baptized into Jesus Christ. Not one time in those places did he use the same name, though they were collected together, meaning the same person. But ladies and gentlemen, did you know 5 times they didn't use a name? So there's those 5 times of baptism. Are they authentic because they didn't use a name? I say they are. Then how do we know what to do in this confused mess? The book of Acts, the Bible is not confused. It's we who get confused by reading because someone comes along and takes an authoritative statement somewhere, and then because something doesn't seem to follow that later, they change the authority statement. If you think with me just a minute, again, in Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 48, here people at Cornelius' house received the Holy Ghost before they were baptized. If you look also in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, you will see that Peter says that the light figure whereunto even baptism does now also save us, not to put away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, hear me. Some people say it's important you have to be baptized to be saved. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if that be true, if baptism is a part of being saved, then you go read the book of Hebrews 11 all the way through, and you'll not find not one of those patriarchs or none of those Christians or one of those people baptized. Does that mean they're not saved? Not one of them, from the Old Testament on down to where we are today. Baptism became an outward act of identification with Christ through faith. It is a visible public testimony. It is a divine command of faith and obedience. Look in Mark chapter 16. Again, in Mark 16, God said, as Christ is speaking, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now watch this. He that believeth and is baptized. The concordant brings the two together. It would sound like at that part that you have to be baptized if you believe to be saved. But the next phrase governs the first phrase. Watch. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. It didn't say he that believeth not and is not baptized. That clears it. If you have to be baptized to be saved, then you have to be not, you have to not be baptized to not be saved. And that's what he said in 4. But he that believeth not shall be damned. You cannot. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation, but it has this to do with a divine act that we might show our faith a visible public testimony. Now, Jesus Christ died, and we're told to die and mortify the flesh. To die is something to be free of. When we die to something, we're free of that. I mean, you think about this. When a person dies physically, they're free from everything in this world. Do you know that? They're released from any anxiety, pain, trouble, problems. There's nothing that can harm that individual once they physically die. You can mutilate the body. You do it. Once the breath is gone, there's nothing about that body except glorified dust that's going to putrefy real fast like and go back to the dust. Would you at least agree with that? Now watch. So to die is to die to something is to be free of it. Now, you take a, how do I understand that? You take a person who say is an alcoholic or drunk, and a drunk dies physically. He's free from his alcohol. He's free from his drugs. He'll never have to worry about getting drunk again. You believe that? I'm talking about dying to something to be free of it. But the Bible talks to us in Romans chapter 6 about being dead to sin. Now, I'm leading to something. I'm going to close real fast like. Look in Romans chapter 6, verse 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What do you mean, preacher? Dead to sin. That means that when you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in. That means simply that you are free of it unless you let it rule you. There's no such thing. You're dead to it. Notice he also says in verse 11. In verse 11, he said, likewise, reckon yourself. That's how you do it. Here, God, he said, no, you're not that so many as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized. No, I'm looking at verse 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How, if we're free from it, why would we want to go back and live in it? Now, he's talking about this thing of continuing in it. This body is still prone to do anything it wants to do unless we capitalize upon it and keep it from doing it. And Romans 7 tells us how that works. But here he's saying that you're dead to sin. Why would you want to live any longer in that which destroys us? And sin does lead to death physically and eternal death without Jesus Christ. Verse 11 tells me how. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, reckon yourself, count yourself that you're dead to sin. That means I don't have to do everything Satan tells me to do anymore. I don't have to drink the buddies anymore. I don't have to smoke with the people anymore. I don't have to do those things that would destroy me because sin leads to death. Wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. So we're dead to sin. We no longer want to continue in sin, for we are alive unto Christ. We walk in Romans 6:4 in a newness of life when we become saved. Now, go into Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, here is the only place you have the authority given by God the Son, who tells us he got his authority from the Father. And watch what he said. Now, think with me. Am I going to go to the New Testament and pick something out that's really confusing because I don't know if it's in Christ's name, or Jesus Christ's name, our Lord Jesus Christ's name. I don't know. Maybe there's something else because there's 5 times baptism is mentioned that I just read to you. I'm not going through the rest of them. Have read to you where it was not in nobody's name. Then were those people baptized correctly? With that confusion, where am I going to get truth? From the person who is truth. Watch in Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, speaking of the disciples. Watch what he says. All, sit with me. All power. Now watch it, folks. See, this is the difference between in-depth Bible study and understanding with a clear conscience things that are happening rather than just picking out something that don't fit in anywhere because it's so controversial or literally contradicts itself in the way it's presented. Jesus said this, the Son of God, our Savior, he's the authority. He says, all power is given to me, unto me, in heaven and in the earth. All power is given to me in heaven and into the earth. This means that I can believe what he says. And I can practice what he says. And I will be right in God's kingdom doing that because the other thing's confused. This doesn't confuse me. Now watch. Once he said all power is given to me in heaven and earth, notice. Then he said, go ye therefore. And teach all nations. Other place preach. Baptizing them in, watch this, the name, singular. This is very important. And this will help you clarify the whole thing. Baptize them in the name, watch, of the Father, direct of the opposition, of the preposition of. Direct object of the preposition of. And of the Son. And of the Holy Spirit. Or Holy Ghost. He didn't say in the names of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. He didn't just say in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. He says in the name, singular of the Father. Singular of the Son. Singular of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that interesting? Are there not three? Why would you use singular? Hey, that's not incorrect English to use singular for three. Three is more than one. That's what you call plural. Now watch. Teaching them to observe all things. Now, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is, what's this? Is the final name of the true God, three in one. It's on the place in mathematics that works. One plus one plus one equals one. With God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. What we're seeing is this. When you use God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit in baptism, you refer to them collectively as one, and each one of these had a part in this thing of you getting saved. That's all there is to it. This emphasizes the unity of the Trinity, declaring baptism to be done in their one name, singular. Now, no trouble for us wanting to use Jesus Christ's name, but I'll tell you this, he who is the authority said that I'm to use all three names, but they are one. If I use Jesus Christ's name only, it seems like he's the only one who did anything. By the way, he did pay for our sins. But wait a minute. God planned it. The Holy Spirit's working it out. So I just believe to do it in the Father's name. Wait a minute. God planned it, but Jesus paid for it. Well, preacher, if I got to look at all three of them, Jesus did the most because he gave his life. You heard that's kind of like the chicken giving the egg and the hog giving the ham. You remember that, or sausage? You heard that, didn't you? And I won't tell you, then you know what it is. But what I'm saying is, here, all three are acting as one. They don't act in separate. It's not in separate names. Baptism shows that we have been made one with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm just what much one tonight with the Father, as I am with the Son. I'm just as much one with the Son as I am with the Father and the Holy Ghost. I'm just as much one with the Holy Spirit as I am with the Father and the Son. And since I assume that neither one was used according to this instruction, this is the authority, this is the authority, this is the authority given by the truth, who is Jesus Christ. But I assume in the book of Acts, since it mentioned these others, that those who were not even given the name were baptized, I assume it was all in the thought of what Jesus said, because it's written down in the scripture and there's no error. There's no error. So I assume, ladies and gentlemen, as I know how a baptism is going to be, if I got up there and said, I baptize you, amen. If I did that, and knowing that what it meant, it would mean it'd be nothing against me, but who else would know? And so now I already see in the Holy Scripture there's a confusion, because the name of Jesus is used different ways, and then his five is not used at all, any name that people are baptized in, you see. Matthew 28:18. Jesus has all authority given to him by the Father. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave his instructions, and his instructions are to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I believe with all my heart, when we do that, we're saying, all three are one. Praise God for each one that had a part in what they did do and are doing today. You get us happening. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. We have to understand, though, the three of the Godhead is one. There's God the Father who planned it all. He has a plan and purpose. I gave that this morning. There's God the Son who literally had came and made it possible. And there's a God, the Holy Spirit, that came back on the day of Pentecost to tell you and I what God the Father planned and what God the Son did. And it took both of them. That's the reason I know that they are individual personalities. That's the reason I believe with all my heart. I would say to anyone, and just go to show, look with me in Luke with me just a minute in chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Somebody said, especially one group of religious people say, you know, God, Jesus Christ is really God, the Father, and he becomes the Son. There's not really three, there's only two. Well, let me give you something. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 21, watch this. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized. Now, watch this. Jesus being baptized, he's in a body of flesh. Amen? 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 He's in a body of flesh. Get this. He's in a body of flesh. They can see him with their physical eye. He reflects molecules and matter can be seen with the physical eye. They were looking at John the Baptist baptized Jesus Christ. What's this now? And it came to pass that Jesus was being baptized and praying, and the heavens were opened up, and the Holy Ghost descended in a body shape like a dove upon him. Now watch. The Holy Spirit descended down in a body shape like a dove upon him. That's God, the Holy Spirit. Symbolic as this dove comes upon him, but it's the way the Holy Spirit manifests himself in matter. You can't see the Holy Spirit with your physical eye. But he comes down as a dove, and this is a sign that God gave John to know who the Messiah would be. Now watch, both of them are present. Both of them are real. They're not one playing the role of another. It's not Jesus on the earth suddenly running up and giving a cup of dove and coming down and suddenly come back. No, he's not playing the internet. Hey, you distort the scriptures when you begin to divide them up and say they're just two rather than three. Now watch. And then he says, he came down like a dove in verse 22, and a voice from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased. That's the Father. All three are manifested at one time in three distinct personalities. The Son being baptized by John physically, the dove coming down as the Holy Spirit comes in the form of a dove to let them know who Jesus Christ is, and God the Father, who says from heaven, when things are done like they ought to be done, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Another place he said, hear ye him. So that's the reason we say that when Jesus said, when I look at the book of Acts and I look at the epistles after that, and mainly the book of Acts is the only place you find this, mainly you find baptized into the body of Christ. That has to do something different than being baptized in water. So what happens is this. You end up looking for the authority. I believe this book is authority. But sometimes this book sets for principles that you have to look where the authority comes from. God wrote this book. And it's God who inspired here in Gospel Luke or in the Gospel of Matthew. It's God who inspired the Gospel of Matthew to write what Jesus said about the Great Commission. He's the authority. So let me just say this to anyone who would condemn us because we use the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost's name. You're condemning the very authority we have to use. What authority do you have to use the book of Acts? The other names. What authority would they have to use just Jesus' name only? Or Jesus Christ's name together? Or the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you're going to use it all the same. Hey, this is the same, right? This is the same. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This is the same. Then why not, if it's going to be in just Jesus' name in the New Testament, why not use the same name all the time? So I believe it all in my heart. If you hear anyone criticize us because we use, by the way, this is a new philosophy in our day in the last 25, 30 years that they no longer baptize in the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost name. They baptize only in Jesus' name. And they use verses like this to prove that and say, you can't find where Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is said in the book of Acts. You can't find that, but you'll find that the names were used were not consistent enough as to know exactly what names to use. And I'm just saying, the Bible's not wrong. The Bible tells some things just what was done, and evidently God accepted it because John the Baptist had no name to baptize anyone in. He just baptized. He didn't baptize in Jesus' name. Jesus hadn't come yet. Are you cleared up on it? I hope so. I hope God will give us a clear understanding about why we do what we do. And if I thought any other thing would be more accurate in my peanut mind, then I would be the first one who'd do the best to prove or to perform that. I believe when Jesus, who is the authority, based on what he said about being baptized in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in the name singular, and I just believe it all in my heart, he emphasized the unity of the Trinity, declaring baptism to be done in their one name, their Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one name, singular. It's hard for people to grasp that. Preacher, you're telling me that when you use the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're just using one name, singular? Yeah. God. You hear what I said? God. So we're privileged to be able to do this tonight. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for giving us assurance of what we're doing. At least it's right. I know there's some things we'll have to give an account one day we did wrong. Lord, I'd be a fool to think that I had everything just like it should. But I know this. Nothing we do without a lot of thought put in it, a lot of study put in it, and ask for directions. And Father, if a person feels led by God to use any name other than Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, fine. But we feel like the authority comes to us when we don't know where they got the authority for these other names to be used, even though they refer to Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I have a kind of a hard time if they even refer to Jesus Christ. Nothing wrong with that. He's certainly part of the Godhead. But I have a hard time about those baptisms where no name was mentioned. No name. I believe what Jesus said, that when you baptize and you do it biblically, that it's in one name. Three be in one, God's name. When we say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we're saying God's name, singular. Thank you for that. Thank you for these parents. Let the children be baptized. Pray for so many on the bus that cannot, parents will not let them be baptized. Pray for others, Lord, who are adults who are saved, and for some reason, right now, they don't understand all they need to know about baptism. But we thank you for these tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.